thank everyone that organized it, including my daughter.
Topic is Hanukkah. I think 2 weeks from last night, God willing, will be Hanukkah. So thereby the topic is Hanukkah. You know, Hanukkah is well known as the Chag of Torah Shebaal Peh. Reason for that being is that if you look at all of Tanakh, will not find anything about Hanukkah. And it's only found 9 times in the Mishnayos and Shas. And there's like three dapim in the Gemara about it. So therefore, it's known as the Chag of Torah Shebaal Peh because there's nothing in Tanakh about it at all. And the Mishnayos and the Gemara are masber to us what this Chag is really all about. So it's interesting, if you want to look for a hint in the Torah for Hanukkah, maybe you could find 2 hints. But they're only really hints. The 25th word in the Torah is Or, light. And the 25th destination, when the Yidim traveled in the Midbar, was Chashmona. So the 25th of Kislev, of course, is the first day of Hanukkah. But of course, those are only hints, and there's nothing explicit about it. Moreover, you know, the Rambam, everyone's heard of the Rambam, of course. The Rambam is a big tzaddik. Of course, he lived 1135 to 1204. And he writes in the Hakdama to his Sefer, that all you need after he finishes his work, there's 14 Sfarim called the Yad HaChazakah, all you'll need is a Tanakh and his Sefer, because he'll codify all the Dinim and Shas, and this is a compendium of the whole Torah. That's what he writes in the Hakdama. He was a big tzaddik, he wasn't a Baal Gaiva, but that's the truth. The truth is he codifies all the Dinim. So the only Chag where he talks about the history is Hanukkah. If you look in Perek Gimel, in Hilchos Hanukkah, he describes the whole history of Hanukkah. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he just says, "B'Bayisheni kishamalchus Yavan gazru gzeirus al Yisrael." In Bayisheni, when the Greek kingdom decreed laws against the Jews, bitlu datam, they wanted to get rid of Yahadus. Lo'enichu osam lasok b'Torah b'mitzvus, they weren't willing to let the Yidim do Torah and mitzvus. Upashtu yadim b'mamonim, they took their money, b'noseim, their daughters, v'nichesu l'heichol, uparts of opratzos v'timat taharos. They went into the heichol, they breached the walls, the curtains, and they were metame all the taharos. And they give a lot of tzuris to Klal Yisrael. And then he writes a little bit weiter, and he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of the Jews, saved us, and the Chashmonoim were able to give us 210 years that we were able to be victorious over the Greeks until the Chorban Bayasheni, when the Romans destroyed the Beis HaMikdash in 70 CE. So the question is, why is Hanukkah the only Chag that the Rambam describes the history? You know, Rav Soloveitchik would always say every statement that he writes in the Yad HaChazakah is a halachic statement. So it's bizarre that he talks about history. History at first glance is not halachic. So the 2 answers that Kasha I want to offer, one is from the Rav Zatzal, and the second is from the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal. The first, the Rav said, it's based on what we just said. If the Rambam writes an introduction that all you need is a Tanakh and his Sefer, then if you look in Tanakh, you're going to find nothing about Hanukkah. So he was forced to talk about the history of Hanukkah because everything he writes is the truth, right? So he would contradict himself in the introduction. So if you look in Tanakh, as we said, there's no Hanukkah. So he has to include in his Yad HaChazakah the history of Hanukkah. So maybe it's not a halachic statement. Every line in the Rambam usually is a halachic statement, except for this, because it's history. That's what the Rav Zatzal answered. But the Rebbe Zatzal said differently. Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal said that if you want to be a Jew that fulfills the mitzvah, and both men and women are equally chayiv to light the neiros in Hanukkah, you have to know how to publicize the miracle. And the Rebbe Zatzal said that if you don't know the history of Hanukkah, then there's no way you can publicize the miracle. So when you light your Chanukiah and someone comes off the street or you have someone over that's not so knowledgeable and they ask you what's going on about Hanukkah and you know nothing, then you're not going to be fulfilling your mitzvah very well at all. So therefore, the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal said that the Rambam's recording the history of Hanukkah is in fact a halachic statement. And you better believe that you better know the history of Hanukkah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of publicizing the miracle properly. In other words, it's inextricably linked to the mitzvah of lighting the Neiros. You have to know the history to publicize the miracle. This fits very well with the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham writes on Shulchan Aruch, on the side of the page, that if you're on a desert island and there's no one else there but yourselves, but yourself, he says there's no mitzvah to light the Neiros. None at all. Why not? Because there's no one to publicize it to. So it's so integral to the mitzvah that if there's no one to convey it to, there's no mitzvah. Now Rav Moshe Zatzal writes in the Tshuva against that Magen Avraham, and we follow the Rav Moshe Zatzal, that there's a mitzvah to light the Neiros. That's one component. And the second component is that there's a mitzvah to publicize it. So therefore, Rav Moshe said that in a desert island you would light. Maybe you would light without a bracha, because we'd be machmer for the Magen Avraham. We never want to say a bracha levatala. The Rambam says, if you say a bracha levatala, you transgress the third of the Aseres HaDibros. So maybe you'd light it without a bracha. But Rav Moshe argued in general with that Magen Avraham and said that there are two elements. There's a mitzvah to light, and there's a mitzvah to mefarsin nes. We actually hold halacha lemaisa that if you come home late at night, 11:30, and no one's up in the house, and there's no one on the street up, you should light without a bracha, based on this Magen Avraham, that we're afraid of this Magen Avraham, and you shouldn't wake up anyone, because that's Gezel Shena, of course, and it's a bit selfish that you're waking them up, you know, to fulfill your mitzvah, unless they gave you explicit permission that they could wake you up. But it's a very interesting din, this halacha, and therefore the Rebbe said, this persuminisa, you know, because there are three halachas that are based on persuminisa. What are they? Hanukkah, reading the Megillah, and Arba Kosos. To the degree that if you don't have any money to fulfill the mitzvah, you have to sell your clothes, get the money, and buy and fulfill the mitzvah. But it seems like Hanukkah, it's amplified much more than persuminisa. To the degree, like the Magen Avraham says, it's integrated to the mitzvah. So if you can't mefarsim it to anyone, then you might not even fulfill the mitzvah at all. Now, nowadays, the Gemara says, because there was terrible anti-Semitism, the Chacham switched the mitzvah of persuminisa from the people on the street, that originally the mitzvah was the mefarsim, the nes, the people on the street. But because there was so much anti-Semitism, they switched the mitzvah of mefarsim nisa to the people inside the house. That's the Gemara has a comment, yumeniach al shulchan vidayo. You can put it on the table, walk away, it's enough. So persuminisa is for the people inside the house. And therefore, why do we light it by the windows? It's just to commemorate what was done in the old times. But, you shouldn't really try to criticize people in general, but if you're by someone and they're having their Chanukiah on the kitchen table, oh, you're not doing it by the window, you're doing the wrong thing. First of all, you're wrong, because the mitzvah persuminisa is really for the people inside the house. We just put it by the window to commemorate what was done. So that's an important halacha to note. Also, just on the persuminisa, it's interesting. I remember our Rebbe, Rabban Soloveitcher Tzatzal, pointed out that it's a machlokes the Rashi and the Rif, whether the mitzvah of persuminisa applies. Are we only obligated to publicize the nes to Yidim, to Jews, or does it also apply to Goyim as well, which is an interesting concept, that we would fulfill our mitzvah of being mefarsim the nes, that Hashem saved us at the times of Hanukkah. There's only Goyim there. So if you were on that desert island and there are only non-Jews and just you, you're the only Jewish person, would there be a mitzvah persuminisa? He claimed there was a machlokes Rashi in the Rif, whether you would fulfill this mitzvah. So therefore it comes out that from this introduction that Hanukkah, because of this, is known as the Chag of Torah Shebaal Peh. Of all the other Chagim, they're always recorded in the Tanakh, except for Hanukkah that we have, and therefore it's known by that name, and that's why it's so unique and special. I just always thought to myself, it's a bit ironic that I think people say that the most popular two mitzvahs that are fulfilled, let's say, by Yidim all over the world are the Seder, don't people say, and lighting the licht. So the Seder, at least, is a pasuk in Chumash. You know, we have to eat by Erev Tov Chalitza Matzos. But Hanukkah is not in the Tanakh, and it's Torah Shebaal Peh, and it's rabbinic. So there might be Yidim that don't know anything, and there might be Yidim that know something, but they don't believe maybe in the Torah Shabbat Peh, they believe only in Torah Shabbat Peh. But at the end of the day, all the Yidim do it. So they're really saying, as the Rav Kook Zatzal would say, their Pinta L'Yid is that they believe in everything deep down, and the best proof is that everyone's lighting lich. So you see deep down that all the Yidim are really believing in Torah Shabbat Peh and Torah Shabbat Peh. So that's why Hanukkah is known as the Chag of Torah Shabbat Peh. Okay. Despite that, though, the Rav Zatzal, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, and Rav Shechter Shlita always teaches us that the Rav Zatzal would spend many, many hours trying to be masber to the Talmidim, even though you're dealing with something that's the Rabbanon, like Chanukah. What mitzvah d'oraisa was the Chanukah based on? There's a principle found in the Gemara in Erevin, and in Psachim and Daflam, it's actually in Psachim and Daflam, that says the following: Kol de tikun rabbanon kein d'oraisa tikun. When the rabbanon made an enactment, they modeled it after a din d'oraisa. It wasn't made up in a vacuum. In other words, when the chachamim sat down and made the mitzvah of lighting neros, they had in mind a certain mitzvah d'oraisa that we want to pattern it after, we want to model it after. And the Rav Zatzal would spend many hours trying to dig up and find what mitzvah that a certain din d'rabbanan was based on. I'll give you an example. Everyone, I'm sure, is familiar in Hilchos Brachos. Have you ever heard of the concept called Shinui Makom Sarach Levarach? If you take start drinking a soda in the dorm, you say Shakol in the dorm, you want to come here to the Beis Medrash, and you want to continue to learn, but you want to take your soda with you. So the halacha is you needed to say a new Shakol, because you're in a different building. You walked outside with the soda, and you go to a different building, it requires you to say a new bracha. Now, saying brachas in general on food is the Rabbanan. But where did the Chum get this concept from? That when you go from one place to the next, you need a new bracha. So the Rav Zatzal said, you know where they modeled it after? Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to eat in different places. You have to stay in one place and eat it. So even though it has nothing to do with a bracha, but it's a model of eating, and the mitzvah and the halacha mandates you have to eat in one place. So that served as a model for Hilchos Brachos, that you have to eat in one, you have to say, if you're saying a bracha, you say the shaka in the dorm. If you're going to go to a new place, that generates a new bracha. So that's an example of the Rav would try to always be mazur based on the Gemara, called the Tikkun Rabbanan Ke'ein. Ke'ein means Kaf, Ayin, Yud, Nun. Not Aleph, like Ke'ein. Not, but Ke'ein, similar. Ke'ein, D'oraisa Tikkun. So the Rabbanan made a takana. What did they model their rabbinic takana after? So that's what we want to try to do now, even though we began with saying that Chanukah is the Chag of Torah Shabbat Peh, but what did the Chachamim model the mitzvah of Licht, of Chanukiah, based on? So I want to offer six Bar Mekomos as to where the Rabbanan modeled it after. So the first is the Ramban al Torah Parsha Baloscha. The Ramban writes, amazing thing, you know, when the Nesim were commanded by Hashem to make the Mishkan, the Kohanim were not included. Hashem did not include Aaron in the Kohanim. And Aaron was very depressed about it. And he actually came to Hashem and said, you know, I'm upset I wasn't included in the Chanukah Sam Mishkan. So Hashem said, okay, I understand. I appreciate you're upset about it, so I'm going to include you. I'm going to give you a job of lighting the menorah. I stress menorah. The what we light during Chanukah is called the Chanukiah, which is 9. 8 candles plus 1 shamish. In the Beis HaMikdash, you know, it was 7. It was not 9. It was a shamish and 6 others. So Hashem said to Aaron, don't worry. You light the menorah, you light it, you clean it, and that's going to be your job. And therefore, he was so ecstatic, he was happy that he was included in the Chanukah of Mishkan. So the Rabban asked, okay, that's all well and good when we had the Beis HaMikdash. But when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, in what sense was Aaron appeased? So the Rabban says an amazing answer. The Rabban says, I'll tell you how he was appeased. Because Chanukah, the holiday of Chanukah, serves as a substitute for the lack of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Even though it's 9, and the menorah was 7, but it serves in its course. What you see from the Ramban is that the institution of the holiday of Chanukah is a substitute for the lack of lighting menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, it's interesting. So Machlokes Rambam and the Ravid, Did they light Hanukkah licht when we still had the Beis HaMikdash? That's a historical machlokes in the Rambam and the Ravid. So according to the Ramban, it seemed to fit better that they only started lighting licht for Hanukkah after the Chorban. But as I mentioned, it is a dispute. It's a machlokes in the Rambam and the Ravid. But you see from the Ramban, in its core, Hanukkah serves as a substitute for the lack of lighting the menorah in the Mikdash. Okay. That's an amazing statement. You could have asked, why didn't you take it to the extreme and say only Kohanim have a mitzvah to light the Hanukkah licht? Maybe Israel and Levim shouldn't, or maybe women shouldn't either. In other words, if it's supposed to serve as a substitute for the lack of the menorah, then maybe she'll blend it into Kohanim. So I think the answer to that is, you know, Aaron wasn't a mechutzef. He wasn't selfish. He was so happy that a mitzvah, a chag, like Hanukkah, was given to Gans Klal Yisrael. Because of him, that was great. He was pacified. When the Beis HaMikdash was built, he would light it. The kahuna, Shevet Kohanim, would light it. They would clean it. And in fact, the cleaning had to exclusively be done by the Kohanim. Lighting could be done by anyone, Yisrael, Kohanim, Levim, but the cleaning davke had to be done by the Kohanim. And he was happy that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, he wasn't happy about that, but he was happy when it was destroyed that Hanukkah would be a substitute for it, so he's fully pacified. And therefore, all of Klal Yisrael has a mitzvah to light. So that's the first maramakam I want to show, that the mitzvah of lighting the Chanukiah is patterned after the menorah in the Mikdash. That's number one. Number two, there's an interesting machlokas in the Gemara as to what is the crucial element of lighting the licht of Hanukkah. Is it the hadlaka? Is it the ignition of the flame? Or is it hanacha? Or is it the placing the Chanukiah in the right place? That's called hadlaka osa mitzvah or hanacha osa mitzvah. Which one? The Gemara has this question. So Rashi has a comment. And a lot of boys make a mistake, and I've given bechinas to boys, or young men, however you want to say it, that have made this mistake. Rashi has a line in Shabbos, actually I'll read it to you, so I have the Gemara here. On Chafalaf and Beis, Rashi says, Hadlaka osim mitzvah. It's in Meseches Shabbos. It's on Chaf Beis and Beis, I'm sorry. Rashi says, E hadlaka osim mitzvah, E amitzvah shulchanaka tluya ba'hadlaka k'madlikin, Kedashkechan b'minora. So what are the Bachram always make a mistake when they say Kedashkechan b'minora? What do they think menorah is? The Hanukkah licht. Well, that's wrong. That's a wrong translation of Rashi. What does Rashi mean when he says Kedashkechan b'minora? He means the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning halakha osa mitzvah. How do I know the lighting is the critical element of lighting licht on Hanukkah? Because in the menorah in the mikdash, that was the critical element. For example, if I light the candle while I'm holding it on the Chanukiah and then I put it down, so is that good or not? No, it's not good. Because halakha osa mitzvah means I require to light it in the proper place. So I have to light it in the place where it's supposed to be put. If I light it, say, higher than 20 amas, and then I lower it, it's wrong. It's puzzle. I have to light it in the place where it's supposed to be good. Where did that come from? It came from the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Rashi serves as the second walk, or the link, between the Chanukiah and the menorah in the Mikdash. Now, there is a Rambam that writes, the Minchas Chinuch says he had this kasha for like 80 years. I think he actually says that. From Minchas Chinuch, the quotes the Rambam. The Rambam says you could take the menorah and the mikdash outside, a Yisrael or a Levi could light it, and then you can bring it back into the place. What does that show? Hadlaka or Hanukkah? That shows Hanukkah osa mitzvah. So if the menorah is the model for the Chanukiah, then it's not right. Rashi says Hadlaka osa mitzvah because it's patterned after the menorah. And we just dug up the Rambam that says by the menorah you could what? You could do hanachos and mitzvah. So the notes in the bottom of the page of Minchas Chinuch says that Rashi must disagree with the Rambam. And the Rambam holds differently than Rashi what was done by the menorah. But Rashi holds that menorah serves as the model for the Chanukiah. So that's the second Maramakom, that there's a link and a modelization between the menorah. Menorah served as a model for the Chanukiah. Okay, that's what Rashi means. Number three, when you have the Hanukkah licht lit, are you allowed to read by it? Are you allowed to derive warmth? Are you allowed to play dreidel? Are you allowed to count money? All of the above is usser. You're not allowed to derive any hana from the licht on Hanukkah. The Balamor and the Ran say, where on earth did this come from? So you know what they say? Came from the menorah in the Mikdash. Do you think the menorah in the Mikdash are able to read by it or derive warmth or play dreidel or whatever? No, not at all. Is an Isser derive hana from the menorah in the Mikdash? So too, there's an Isser to derive hana and benefit from the Chanukiah on Hanukkah. So that's number three, Mukher. Number four, where are you supposed to light the Chanukiah in Shul? Which direction? East side, west side, north side, or south side? So the Ramah quotes from Chumash Adeshin, the south, southernmost wall, Sadromi. Why the Sadromi? Because the Gemara says in Baba Basra and Dafkafayim Ebeis, Harotsu Shiyachim Yadrim. It says if you want to be smart, you go to the south. What was in the south of the Mikdash? The Menorah. The Menorah symbolizes Torah and Libra Torah and the light of Torah. So therefore, if you want to be smart and engage in learning in Torah, you should go to the south. About 25 years ago, there was a Torah journal they used to put out every week from Atlanta. It was called Torah Midixi. So they actually would write this line of the Gemara. Now, it didn't mean the southernmost part of the United States, but they used it as a bit of a joke, you know, I don't know, it was a bit of a joke to get people that that's what the Gemara was driving at. It really wasn't, but the fact is that, again, the fourth Maramakom is that Chanukiah is patterned after the menorah. We light it in the southernmost, and if your shul doesn't do it, you should ask the Gabbai that you learned in the shir tonight that don't get him upset, but it should be in the southernmost wall. In our shul, we light in the southernmost wall. Okay. Number five, there is a discussion, and we come out that it's mutter, but do you know there's an isser to replicate the kalim in the mishkan? I don't know if you're familiar, there's like an institute in the old city that they have all the kalim. So I was once bothered by that. I once asked the guy in charge, how do you do that? Aren't you over in Isser? So you know what he said to me? Amazing thing. He said, these are the kalim that we're going to use. We're not replicating it. He said, when the Mashiach comes, we'll be ready to go. I said, whoa. I was so taken aback at that. He said, it makes sense. It's us to replicate them, but they say that they're building the kalim that we're going to use. So my father, Olav Shalom, my mom, she should live and be well, they owned a menorah, a seven-branch candelabra, and that's usher to own. And when I moved them from Chicago to New Jersey, we were bringing all the items, and I said, whoa, this might be a problem. So I looked in Shulchan Aruch, and the Piskei Tshuva has a discussion. Is it usher to make it, or is it usher even to possess it? And he says that since it might be that it's usher even to possess, so I gave it away without telling my parents. I gave it away to one of their aides because there is an isser to replicate. Now, it doesn't have to be necessarily the same measurement or the same metals, but if you're trying to replicate and symbolize, I don't know how the Knesset, I don't know how the Knesset always, you know, the Knesset has the seven, the symbol of the Knesset. But whatever it is, we're not asking on that. But I gave away that seven-prong candelabra, which is a menorah. So the post can discuss, how do we have a Chanukiah? Isn't that an issue of replicating a kalim in the Mishkan? So what's the answer at the end of the day of all the poskim? Well, it's not the same. The Chanukiah is 9 and the menorah is 7, and therefore it's mutter. But from that whole discussion, and that whole pilpul was, is it mutter, is it usser, is this a problem, obviously speaks to the linkage between the Beis HaMikdash and the Chanukiah. So that's the fifth Maramakom. And the last, number six, to establish this concept that even though it's a Chag of Torah Shebaal Peh, but they modeled it after the mitzvah of the menorah and the mikdash, is what is ideal. For many years, I was too lazy to do it. I'd say for about the last 20 years, I have been doing it. What is ideal? Is ideal wax candles or is ideal oil? No doubt, all the poskim say that Pe'achad, it is oil. The miracle in the Beis HaMikdash was not with wax candles. The miracle in the Beis HaMikdash was with a pach shemen, with olive oil. So it's not that complicated. I'm not so coordinated myself at all. But everyone should strive, both men and women equally, to try to use olive oil. And that is the most ideal because that's the linkage again. We had a nace that happened to the menorah in the mikdash, and that's the model for us. So we should ideally use oil. And I'll tell you, oil solves a lot of problems, especially Friday night. And because if you use wax candles, you know, let's just mention the Zman. What's a proper Zman to be modeling? You have to model it Tzeis HaKochavim. So let's assume, like Reb Moshe Zatzal, that for Shabbos, right, we wait 50 minutes after sunset, right? In Pesach, everyone waits at least 50 minutes based on Reb Moshe Zatzal, and they don't do any Chol Shabbos before 50 minutes. We start Ma'ariv at 50 minutes. And so let's say you want to light, some want to say that you could light 25 minutes after because it's Hanukkah, it's not a Shiloh Chul Shabbos. But if you wanted to light 50 minutes, that would be fine as well after Shkia. Find out when sunset is, plus 50. So if you think about it, on a Friday, what do you have to do? You have to light Shabbos Lich, which is 18 minutes before sunset. But you have to light the Hanukkah Lich before Shabbos Lich. So you're going to give yourself at least 10, 12 minutes, right? So let's say you light the Hanukkah Lich the half an hour before sunset. And then if you hold like Reb Moshe, you don't, the Hanukkah Lich really should be lit 50 minutes, but you can't light it on Shabbos, Chas v'Shalom. So, and they have to at least last another half an hour. So 50 plus 30 is 80. So you're talking about 80 minutes after Shkia, plus another half an hour before, 80 plus 30 is 110 minutes. Those wax candles, no way do they last 110 minutes. Even the tall ones, maybe, but they're sometimes dangerous. They could fall over. So if you're lighting oil, oil lasts at least 2 hours. So it solves the whole problem. But that's a major problem. If Friday night you use those little wax candles, l'churi nayotze, because it goes out way, way too early. So that's another advantage of using oil, and it's a nice thing. And Rav Rosenzweig Shlita once discussed at great length, and this is really a separate topic, but I want to just mention, he just developed this whole theory that on Hanukkah is the Chag of Lechachilism. As opposed to being a B'dieved man or a B'dieved woman, you want to strive for the best. And Hanukkah is a Chag, not just we said of Torah Shebaal Peh, but he added on that it's a Chag of Lechachilism. So if that's the case, why would you want to use wax? Again, don't denigrate or criticize anyone that does it, but maybe they'll follow your example and you use oil because that is the ideal. The ideal was to find a pach shemen of tahora. Even though there's a principle in halacha that if rov klai yisrael is tamei, you could use a tamei pach shemen. So what are they standing on their heads to try to find a pach of tahora? So that's what Rosenzweig said, because the holiday of Hanukkah is a chag of lechachilism. We strive for the best. Okay. So what we've established is that Hanukkah is the chag of Torah Shebaal Peh. But despite that, it is linked after, called the Tikkun Ronan Kain, he writes a Tikkun. It is modeled after the mitzvah of lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, and we concretize that by quoting six Maror Makomos on this concept. So I want to speak to now the concept of the mitzvah itself, of what we talk about when we have Hanukkah. And as I said before, men and women are equally chayiv in the midst of lighting because women are afayu bosanes. The heroine of Hanukkah was Yehudis, and women have just as much of an obligation as men. The only thing is that when a woman gets married, usually we say ishto kegufo, and the woman does not have to light, the married woman does not have to light on her own, she'll be yotze with her husband. But individual single women in the family certainly should light halacha lemaisa. So I want to just begin now, when we look at the actual details of the mitzvah, there are three levels of the mitzvah, and I want to discuss each one, and then we will get to the concept of hiddur mitzvah, God willing. The base level is Tan Rabbanan, mitzvahs near Chanukah, mitzvahs Chanukah, Tan Rabbanan, mitzvahs Chanukah, near Ishu Beiso. What does near Ishu Beiso mean? That is the base level. It's interesting. Rav Agon Rav Shach Zatzal, or Shiva Panovich, points out that in Shulchan Aruch he doesn't even quote the base level, because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't want you to do the base level. He wants you to do more. That speaks well with what we said about the Chachilism. But what is Nirushu Beso? You can have 100 people in the members of the family, 50, a large family. How many candles have to be lit in the house? One, no matter what night it is. You can have 10 people in the house, eighth night of Hanukkah. The base level, what you're supposed to do on Hanukkah, is one candle, Nir Ishu Beso. And that's called a Chovas Habayis. It's an obligation on the house. It's not an obligation on individuals. It's a lot like our Rebbe of Zalman Nechemia Goldberg Shlita, the great Gaon, said that it's a Chovas Habayis like a mezuzah. Every Jewish house in Klal Yisrael has to at least have one candle lit. Nir Ishu Beso. It's a bias, it's a base, it's a mitzvah of the bias. And I want to prove that from two halachas. Number one, it says in the Shulchan Aruch a little bit later that a katan shi'igi l'chinuch, or it could even be a boy or girl that is of the age of chinuch, 11, 10 or 11, they could light the candle on behalf of the whole house. So, how is that possible? Someone who's only chayiv d'rabbanan can never be motzi someone in a mitzvah that is chayiv, let's say, d'yoraisa. Now, Chanukah is d'rabbanan, but a katan is also a d'rabbanan. So it's a double d'rabbanan. How can a katan or a katana who have two d'rabbanans be motzi an adult who has one d'rabbanan? We have a klal that's never able to be done. Two d'rabbanans cannot be motzi echad d'rabbanan. So how can the Shulchan Aruch say that a katan or a katana can light on behalf of the whole house? What's the answer? The answer is that's if the chiv is on the person. If the obligation is on the person, that's a problem. But on Hanukkah, the obligation is on the house. It's a chovas habayis. So therefore, as long as you're in the realm of the mitzvah, you're in the age of chinuch, you know what's flying, you can light on behalf of the whole house. That amplifies and highlights what it means bayis. Nir ishu beso. Underline beso 100 times. It's a chovas habayis. And the second halacha is, that proves this very well, I don't know if you ever heard, if you go to a house for Shabbos, so what are you supposed to do? And this is very important. You cannot light Hanukkah candles and be yotze in the mitzvah if it's not your home. So now, this might be the only time in your lives, you never know, you have two homes. You live at home and you have the dorm. So you could light at home. You could light also in the dorm. But it's got to be a home. If you go to someone's Hanukkah party, a friend of yours, and you're not going to sleep over, you cannot light there. That's not your house. What makes it your house? If you sleep over or if you give them some coins. You give them some money. So then you become a partner. So Mr. Bruce says you become a partner in the oil. But there is a halacha that if you want to buy movables, you cannot buy movables with money. You have to do a meshicha. You have to actually pull it in. So the Rav Zatzal asked on the Mishnah Berurah, if you go to someone's house on Shabbos Hanukkah, you could sleep over and rely on that and bring your Chanukiah, but maybe you want to give them a few quarters and you become a partner in their what? In their oil. You don't have to light anything. They light on your behalf. But oil is a movable. Money does not work to acquire movables, mineral bonum. So the Rav Zatzal said, what's pshat with the Mishnah Berurah? So you know what the Rav said? You are not becoming a partner in the oil. What are you becoming a partner in? Their house. Because it's a chovas habayis. So with a few quarters, you're becoming a partner in their house. So therefore, since you're a partner in the house, you could actually light there. Because it's an obligation on the bayis. So you see three halachas we just said about this base level. That it's a chiv on the house. The chiyuv on the house is, number one, we said that a katan or a katana could be motzi the whole household. Number two, you can't light at a Hanukkah party if you're not going to sleep over or give what? Or give a few coins. A lot of people make that mistake. So, and most poskim say it's not right to light at a wedding. That's not your house. You have to light at your house. It's got to be your house. So that's why you have the dorm. Now, my talmidim always ask me, Thursday night, let's say they go home. They don't have to sleep in the dorm that night because they own two homes. The only time you have to sleep over somewhere to make it your home is if it's not your home. So you want to make it your home for that night. So my sleeping over makes it my home, or I have the option to give coins. But the Mishabrura, we have to defend and say, you're right, the Rabbanan do not allow you to buy movables with money because they made a takana, but Letzorach Mitzvah, they suspended the takana and they went back to the klal, the Diraisa klal, that Dvar Torah Ma'os Konos, that I can buy a movable with money. So there's a three halach, as we mentioned, that's the base level of Nir Ushu Beso, and that everyone's got to know. That's the base level of lighting the lich, Nir Ushu Beso. Then there's a second level. The second level is called Mahadrin. What does Mahadrin mean? Mahadrin means every member of the Jewish people or of the home has to be represented by a candle. So that means no matter what night it is, if you have five members in the household, you light five candles. Each member is represented by one candle. That's called Mahadrin. And then there's the third level called Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, where again you don't find anywhere else in the Torah, which speaks to what we said from Ron's actually earlier, that's Al-Kharchilaism. What's the level of Mahadrin Mahadrin? So this is a machlok, the Rambam and the Tosfos. And it's interesting, the Sfardim hold like Tosfos, and the Ashkenazim hold like the Rambam. Usually that's not the case. But the holiday of Hanukkah is special. Maybe it unifies Klal Yisrael. And here we have the Ashkenazim following the Rambam and the Sephardim following the Tosfos. So what is Mahadrin min Mahadrin? So Tosfos writes the following. It's very interesting. Let's say you have 10 members of your household and it's the eighth night of Hanukkah. So Mahadrin min Mahadrin means it's like this. If it would modify Mahadrin, how many candles would you light? We said Mahadrin meant each member has to be represented by one candle. Mahadrin min Mahadrin means you modify that according to the night. You increment the amount of candles according to the night. So how many people in your household? 10. It's the eighth night of Hanukkah. 10 times 8 is how many? 80 candles you're going to have. That's the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam says you light 80 candles because Mahadrin Mahadrin goes back and modifies the Mahadrin. That's what the Rambam writes. However, Tosfos says there's no way that people are going to know when they're walking out of the street what night of Hanukkah it is. It's lacking in Pesumah Nisah. So Tosfos says Mahadrin min Mahadrin has to go back and modify Nir Ushu Beso. And you preclude fulfilling Mahadrin. Meaning Mahadrin you can't fulfill anymore. So what does Mahadrin min Mahadrin mean? That one candle you're supposed to light to represent the house. No matter what night it is, you increment according to the night. So therefore, how many candles would you light on the eighth night? Even if you have 10 members of your household, only 8 candles, and that's it, done. No, there's according to Tosfos, Mahadrin Mahadrin goes back and modifies Nir Ushu Beso. At the same time, it precludes you from fulfilling Mahadrin. What is the Nekuda Samachlaikis? What are they arguing about? To what degree does Hanukkah have to be recognizable to the outside world? Who you want to perform some of the nates to. When you do Mahadrin and a Mahadrin, what is the makor of Mahadrin and a Mahadrin of Hiddur Mitzvah in general? Zeh Kelev Anveyu. This is my God, and I glorify him. The word Zeh means it's visually recognizable. For example, I don't know if you know, if Sefer Torah or Tefillin, when you write a Sefer Torah, something called Sirtut, it's actually scored. The sofer scores it so you write straight. Tosso says we don't require sirtut by tefillin. Why? Because no one can see it. According to Rabbeinu Tam, sirtut is like a hidur mitzvah to make the writing look nice. But if you can't see it, there's no mitzvah of hidur mitzvah. Because in order to fulfill the mitzvah of beautifying the mitzvah, it has to be visual. It has to be able to be discernible. Rashi says in Yuman, daf ayin amar alf, everyone on the Yom Kippur who had an own personal Sefer Torah to bring a Sefer Torah to Beis HaMikdash, lift it up and show, look how beautiful my Sefer Torah is. And Rashi says, Zekei Levan Veyu. To fulfill Hiddur Mitzvah, it has to be visual and discernible and recognizable. And therefore, Tefillin, which is covered over in a box, there's no din of Sirtu because you can't see it. So therefore, Hanukkah is the mitzvah of Hiddur Mitzvah. Abai Hanukkah patterned after the mitzvah of Kol HaTorah Kulo of Hiddur Mitzvah? Hiddur Mitzvah Kol HaTorah Kulo has to be recognizable. So maybe Hanukkah just as well. That's why Tosfos says you only light 8 candles. Because I have to show to everyone what night of Hanukkah it is. Because the Hiddur Mitzvah by Hanukkah is patterned after the Hiddur Mitzvah Kol HaTorah Kula. By Kol HaTorah Kula, it has to be recognizable, discernible, visually seen. Hanukkah the same way. And the Rambam says, no, I'm sorry. I beg to differ with you, Tosus. On Hanukkah, there's a third level. Nowhere else is there a third level. And on Hanukkah, it's a box on its own. Literally. You don't have to show it off to other people. It doesn't have to be discernible. It does not have to be recognizable to everyone what night it is. Light the 80 candles and you're done. The Rambam has an interesting shita that the Balabayas lights all 80. It's amazing. The Rambam writes that the Balabayas should light all 80 candles while everyone watches him do it. It's an interesting Rambam. Not only do you light 80, but the Balabayas lights all 80. So it comes out that the crux of the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Tosfos, how to define Mahadrim into Mahadrim is... is the notion of Hiddur Mitzvah on Hanukkah patterned after Hiddur Mitzvah and Kol HaTorah Kula? Hiddur Mitzvah, when I say Kol HaTorah Kula, I mean the other mitzvahs. There's Hiddur Mitzvah, Sefer Torah Noah, Tefillin Noah, Sitzis Noah, Sukkah Noah. Every mitzvah we should try to beautify. Well, a mandate is to make sure it's recognizable and visual and can be discernible. Well, is Hanukkah patterned after that? The Rambam says, no way. It's not patterned after that at all. It's a localized mitzvah of Hanukkah, just like we have no third level anywhere else. Hanukkah is its own box. Taisa says, no, I beg to differ. Taisa says that Hiddur Mitzvah of Hanukkah is patterned after Kol HaTorah Kula, and you better bet your bottom dollar that it better be recognizable. If you light 80 candles and someone walks by, no one's going to know what night it is. You light 8 and that's it. And then it's discernible what night of Hanukkah is, and I fulfill the mitzvah of Pursumi Nisa. So this is the machlokes we have between the Rambam and the Tosfos. So I want to take a little bit of time now to speak about what is the relationship between Hiddur Mitzvah and the Ikar Mitzvah. It's getting late already. Rivka said I should... you mind if we go to 5 to 9? Is that all right? Or is that bad? We'll go 5 to 9? We only got 10 more minutes. Okay, we'll go quick. I'm sorry, Rivka. I didn't... okay. So I want to know what the relationship is between the lighting of the candles and the mitzvah of Hiddur Mitzvah. I'll give you a few quick examples. Let's say like this. Let's say, God forbid, someone's really, really poor. Rachman al Islam. He comes in the shul. He asks the gabbai or the rav of the shul, you know, I have no money. Please, can you give me some candles? It's the fifth night of Hanukkah. How many candles do we give him? Do we give him one or we give him five? So this is a machloikis between the Chemed Moshe and the Bir Halacha, the Chofetz Chaim. Chemed Moshe says you give him one. You only give him one. We are not obligated to subsidize someone to do Hiddur Mitzvah. The Ikar Mitzvah, yes, but not the Hiddur Mitzvah. And the Or Sameach claims you got to give him five. Because Hiddur Mitzvah, according to Or Sameach, is integral. It is inextricably linked to the Ikar Mitzvah. They cannot be divided. They cannot be separated. And therefore, it's not right for us to give them enough money for one. You've got to give them five. And if we can handle it, we should try to give them five. That's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina. Let's say you have no shamash. Say someone has no shamash. Can you light from one candle to the other? Fifth night of Hanukkah. Let's use the fifth night as an example. The Rebbe Zatzal has a whole drasha about there's something beautiful and unique, especially about the fifth night of Hanukkah. What do you do if you have no shamash? Can you take one candle and light the other one? So it's a big machlokes in the poskim. If there's a chumra not to, and you should always use a shamash or use a match for every candle separately. So when you light the first candle is the ikar candle. All the other candles are extra. They're the Hiddur Mitzvah candles. Maybe it's disrespectful to take the Ikar Mitzvah candle and light the other ones with it, because the other ones are just extras. Or no. Maybe you say the Hiddur Mitzvah becomes so integrated to the what? Ikar Mitzvah, they are equal levels. That's the Machlokes. If we're Makbid Natu, then we hold that the Ikar candle is number one. Whatever you light afterwards extra, it's disrespectful to take the Ikar Mitzvah candle and light the other ones. But if you hold the Hiddur Mitzvah is integrated with the Ikar Mitzvah, then they're on the same level, no problem. No problem at all, and you could take the candle and light the other ones. I'll give you another example. Let's say our minhag is to go left to right. We put the candles in right to left. We light left to right. That's a machlokes, though. There are some that say that you should light from the right to the left. The Vilna Gaon has that shita. Why? Because how do you put the candles in? Right to left. So aren't you declaring that the first candle you put in is the Ikkar Mitzvah candle? I put it in right to left, and I light left to right. But the first one I put in, isn't that the Ikkar Mitzvah? How can I light the one on the left one? Isn't that a Hitter Mitzvah one? So if they're inextricably linked, they're integrated, then they're all on the same level, and then we always want to go rightward. So I light from left to right because I always want to go to the right. But if I hold the Hitter Mitzvah candles are plus, are extras, and the Ikkar Mitzvah stands on its own, you really should what? Light the farmost right candle first. Our minhag is to go left to right, but there's a machlokes about it. I'll give you one other example. Rabbi Kiveger has an interesting tshuva. Let's say, again, the fifth night of Hanukkah, I lit the first candle, I forgot all the brachas. Then I catch myself before I lit all the candles, I hadn't said the brachas. Is it too late or not? So again, it depends whether hit a mitzvah candles, can you say a brachan? So machloik is the prechadish and eli al-rabba. Number two, you're still in the zman of the hadlaka. And number, because it's not actually tichel regel min ashuk. And number three, the third halacha is that we always say, even if you've done a mitzvah, there's a shita of the agos ashri that says you could still say a bracha after the mitzvah. So he says you could say a bracha. But again, it depends on the shaila. If the hitter mitzvah is integrated with the ikkar mitzvah, then you're on the same level. I haven't fulfilled the mitzvah yet. I haven't lit all the candles, so it's not too late to say the bracha. So again, this speaks to, you know, that we're trying to do the best we can on Hanukkah, the Chag of Torah Shabbat Peh. And, you know, the Rav would always say, it's a machlokes, the Ram and the Ramban, were the Maccabees right? Because the Maccabees took over the Malchus Yisrael, but they were Kohanim. What Shevet's supposed to be the Melech Yehuda? So the Ramban says they did a terrible Aveira, and that's why they didn't last. They only lasted 210 years, they were destroyed. But the Ramban praises them, that was the Ramban referring to before. So it's a machlokes, the Ram and the Ramban, did they do the right thing or the wrong thing? According to the Ramban, they only took it over temporarily. So I want to just close with the following. It's interesting that, very fascinating. And if you get a chance, take a look at the Gemara. When the Gemara says, my Hanukkah, what's Hanukkah? Tells you the whole story that they found a Pach Shemin, and it says they made a takana to celebrate Hanukkah for all generations. And I'm just going to read the last line. L'shona achiris kavu v'asim yamim tovim b'halol u'b'hodah. What does halol mean? Halal. Sam Sofer says, halal on Hanukkah is diraisa. Even though the Chag of Hanukkah is only the Rabbanan, but halal on Nes is diraisa. The Netziv says it's only the Rabbanan. Halal on Nes, lezikron on Nes is the Rabbanan, to commemorate a miracle. On Pesach, when you live through it, that's B'shas on Nes, that's diraisa. What does Hodah mean? What does Hodah mean? Rashi says, al anisim. What's missing here? Says the Chachamim are Masakin for all generations, the holiday of Hanukkah, with Halal and Hodah. What is being omitted? What'd you say? Lighting candles, exactly. It's a Pella. It's Mamish a Pella. You look in this Gemara. You can ask a big Talmud Chacham. What is missing? It doesn't say you have to light licht. It's crazy. The Uraim asked this kasha. The Re'im on the bottom of the page asked this kasha. The Re'im asked this kasha. Not Yireim, the Re'im. So Rav Zhulti Zatzal writes, the great chief rabbi of Yishalayim Zatzal, it's an amazing answer. He says that the Rambam argues with Rashi, and you know how he translates the word Hodah? If we were writing Art Scroll Gemara, we wouldn't say Al Anisim like Rashi. You know what we would say? The Neros. When you light the Neros licht on Hanukkah, it's an expression of Hakaras HaTov, of thanks to Hashem. That's why the Rambam writes that Hadlakas Neros is a mitzvah divrei sofrim, like Kriyas HaMegillah. Kriyas HaMegillah is a manifestation of reading the Megillah, but it's Hakaras HaTov to Hashem. Usually Hakaras HaTov is verbally. I thank you, I thank Hashem, I thank the person that helped me. But really is it an action? The Rambam defines the word Hodah here as being lighting the licht. So it does say the Neiros. It says it through the word Hodah. So when you light your licht on Hanukkah, you have to take a step back, you have to reflect, and you have to say, whoa, how lucky you are to have such a nice family, such nice parents and siblings. Okay, I don't want to get too corny, but I mean it in a real way. To appreciate that, you know, you're healthy, Bli Ayin Hara, you're able to go to Stern and learn Torah, and, you know, learn secular studies, and thank Hashem for what you have in life. That's an expression. It's an expression through lighting the lit. It becomes very emotional when you think about it like this, in a real way. And where did it come from? It came from the Gemara. And that's why normally, when you fulfill a mitzvah midrabanan, the Magen Aram quotes in the name of Chuvas Rabbaz, by a rabbinic mitzvah, if you don't have kavana, you yotze the mitzvah. By a mitzvah d'oraisa, you must have kavana. The Vilna Gaon says you always need kavana for a mitzvah d'oraisa, mitzvah rabbanan. But the Magen Aram says, in the name of Chuvas Rabbaz, a rabbinic mitzvah, without kavana, you are yotze. A biblical mitzvah without kavana, you are not yotze. But this is different. This rabbinic mitzvah, Chanukah, if you don't have kavana, you are not yotze. Why? When's the last time you try to express Hakara Satov without kavana? If you don't have it in heartfelt and sincere, then it's a joke. Then you're not yotze. That's what the Rambam and that's what the Gemara is driving at. That the expression of Hal and Hodah, when you light the licht, that is your Maisa of Hodah. And without Kavana, you're not Yotze. Just like by Kriyas and Megillah. Without Kavana, but Kriyas and Megillah is Drabanan. I don't care. A mitzvah of expressing Hakaras HaTov without Kavana, you're not Yotze at all. And it's not considered to be thanks. So, we spoke about how it's a Chag Shel Torah Shebaal Peh. We spoke about how it's modeled after the Oraisa. We spoke about the three levels of the mitzvah. And we spoke about the relationship between Mahadrin and the Iker mitzvah. And then we close off by saying that lighting licht is a maisa, an action of a Hakaras HaTov. So I want to give a bracha to everyone. They should have a beautiful Chanukah. And you should have a lot of kavana when you light. And you should have in mind that you're thanking Hashem, because rarely do we have an action of thanking. Usually it's verbally. Maybe we have a different outlook, or it's Hanukkah, and help us fulfill the mitzvah properly. Okay, thanks for listening.